Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we are here to, this lesson is about God not being guilty. So we are declaring God's not guilty because God is not guilty. God is never guilty. The only thing he's guilty of is loving us. You know, and but we can never say he's guilty. Amen. We serve a good and mighty God who is so concerned about us that it just blows my mind how concerned he is about his children. And when I say his children, I'm talking about believers, those who have accepted his son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. Because God the Father becomes our daddy, right?
Amen.
He is our Abba. He is our Heavenly Father. He is our Adonai. And no one can compare to him. No one. Amen. So in today's lesson, I really do want to share one of the most important things that God has ever done in our life, right? And for many people, it seems like people automatically, and you know, you probably have experienced this, and I have experienced it and even heard it also. But it seems like people automatically believe everything that happens to them is from God. And and they say that he controls everything, and people blame God for everything that happens. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. That is not true.
That's right.
That is not true. And the reason why they believe this, the reason for this is that by definition, okay, God is supreme. He is all powerful. And people just assume that he controls everything that happens in their lives. It's an assumption.
Yeah.
And even unbelievers believe that too. You know? So there are many Christians who promote this doctrine that when something bad happens to them, oh, God must be teaching me a lesson. Or God wants me, maybe God put the sickness on me because maybe he's trying to teach me something, or maybe he wants me to maybe be more dependent on him and this and that. And I tell you that those things are a lie. Amen. So, you know, so there are people out there, even pastors and ministers, right, that they promote in their congregation, sister, brother, if you're going through this, God must be teaching you something. And that is so not true. And if we go to a church where you hear that, you need to run. You need to run from that church and run quickly, because God is not judgmental. God is not, he's not condemning. God is not an evil God. God is a good God, and he would never, ever, ever place sickness in your body. Never. That either comes from the enemy or it comes from you, yourself, but not God. And even other people can plant poison in your body. Can, you know, we've seen it. Some people have planted drugs in people's drinks. We've seen that. People are evil. The devil is evil. This world, this dark world is evil. That's why it's called dark, right? That's why we call this world is dark, because they don't know Christ. Amen. But we serve a good God, a God that truly, truly loves us and is really concerned about everything that happens to us. Everything,
mm-hmm.
Not just some things, everything. So there's so many Christians out there that are promoting this doctrine, and in a way they have ingrained that doctrine in their lives, and they walk in that doctrine. And that's a sad state to be in. Let me tell you, to believe that God is not good, that is a sad state to be in. Let me tell you. So we're going to read James 1:13-17. And I really, truly believe that these scriptures, these verses right here, is is teaching us the contrary of this doctrine that other people believe. And it's really important for us to learn this lesson about God, okay? So let's, if you have a Bible, you can turn there. I'm going to turn to my Bible because I am going to read these five verses here. In your study guide, I believe there's only two verses written next to your questions. And that is only 1:13 and 1:17. But I want to read from James 1:13 through 17. So let's begin. And it says here, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Okay? Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Meaning, spiritual death. We're talking about spiritual death here. Okay?
Right.
Well, sometimes it could be physical death too, okay? Sin can, you can commit sin and not be here tomorrow. It depends, right? But anyway, it brings forth sin. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, it is very clear here. I mean, these verses make it very clear that God is the author of the good things. And if we go to John 10:10, and it is part of your study guide, right? John 10:10, it says, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But then it goes on, it says, I have come, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, that they may have life and that they may have it in abundance. In other words, more abundantly. So if it's good, it's got to be from God. If it's bad, it's got to be from the devil. And this is very simple theology right now. And the reason this is so critical for us is because in James 4:7, and it's in your notes, right? And I'm going to read from my Bible. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Right? So this says, it's very clear in the verse. This says we have to submit or yield control to God and resist the devil. And the word here, resist, means to actively fight against. Amen? Remember, the enemy is always going to and fro, right? The word says to see whom he can devour, whom he can deceive, whom he can trick, whom he can lie to. But our jobs as believers and Christians, we need to resist the enemy and come against him with the word of God. And we got to tell it like it is. Devil, you are defeated. You are under my feet. You have no power. You have no victory. You are the father of lies, Satan. And I'm standing with God. I'm submitting to God. I'm yielding to God. He is my daddy. He is my father. And he's a good God.
Amen.
Right?
right.
And you know, and as we read before, when people believe everything that happens in life is totally from God, let's say, for example, sickness, maybe a failure in business, maybe losing a job, maybe having rebellious children, or even going through a divorce, that puts them in the position of being passive. In other words, if they really believe God is the author of a situation, right, and is using it to punish them or change them, they would be fighting against God if they resist, right? Yet James 4:7, he's is saying you need to resist the devil, not God. And when you resist the devil will flee from you. But we shouldn't be fighting against God. God is a good God. God is for you, never against you. He's not the author of your situations. We make choices. We have free will. So he's not the author of things that you decide to do. He can advise. He can assist. He can guide, because that's what the Holy Spirit is there for. He can warn, right? But ultimately, it's up to you and I to decide what we choose to do. God doesn't choose for us. He's there to assist. He's there to warn you with something not so good, maybe coming your way. Like, how many of us have avoided car accidents because you felt the Holy Spirit tell you, no, go this direction? God is a good God. But if we refuse to listen to the Holy Spirit and something happens, you can't blame God for that. You chose to do your own thing. That's why it's so important for us to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, in tune with God on a daily basis. Because he's always talking. He's always talking, right? So this verse is telling us that we need to resist the devil and he needs to go. But before that, we need to submit to God. Yield to God. Amen? Surrender to God. That's another word. Surrender it all to God and let him lead you. Let him lead your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God is good. You gotta believe and you gotta declare, God, you're good. Because God is good all the time. Amen. And there is really, as we know it to be, there is a force of evil in this world. And not everything that happens in your life comes from God. And if you don't understand that, you will end up submitting to the devil. And actually, what you're really doing when you submit to the devil, you really are opening a door and you are empowering Satan to do whatever he desires. And the number one thing that Satan likes to do is, one, deceive you, bring division in your life, bring division in your home, bring division in your schools, bring division at your jobs, bring division in the churches, in ministry. That's what Satan wants. He wants to destroy, but like we read before, John 10:10, he wants to kill, steal, and destroy you because you are a son and a daughter of God. You are his child. You are a believer. And I want to also bring this verse out to you. And it is on the study here, right? In Romans, right? Romans 8:28 is misused also. It is misused also. One of my professors, right? He was actually at a funeral where some people didn't really know anything about God, right? Some people, you know, a lot of people don't go to church, right? A lot of times people say, well, you know, funerals are a good place to share the word of God, right? I truly believe it is a good place to share the word, but I really don't believe it is a place to do altar calls. Okay. This is Bernice speaking. That's my personal opinion. Okay. So a lot of people do, you know, you got both, you got believers and unbelievers, right? And in this particular instance, in this particular funeral, place, there was people that didn't know God, didn't go to church, and knew hardly anything about scripture, right? But they knew about Romans 8:28. Isn't that funny? Right? And in Romans 8:28, look at what it says. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Listen to the key words here. Everything worked together for good to them that love God, right? To them who are the called according to his purpose, right? And this verse right here, it has been interpreted to say that whatever happens in your life, right, God does it and works it together for good in some way. And my professor was saying that when he was at the funeral, he was actually at a funeral where a young boy and a girl had been mixing alcohol and drugs together, got into a car, drove a little bit too fast on a slick road, and slid around a corner, hit a telephone pole, and they were both killed. Okay? And in this funeral, the professor says that there was the preacher that was there quoting this same verse, right? He quoted it and he said, we know all things work together for good, and said that God must have had a purpose in doing this at the funeral. And let me tell you something. God didn't kill those teenagers, okay? And in a sense, right, you can't even say the devil did it either. It was the teenagers themselves. Right?
Choice.
Exactly. I'm sure the devil must have enticed them, probably deceived them, placed some lies into their mind, right? So they can rebel against, the discipline of their parents, right? Or maybe the disciplines, maybe of other people, right? Around their lives. But ultimately, it was their choice. It was their choice to mix drugs with alcohol. It was their choice, right? To get in the car all messed up, all jacked up. It was their choice, right? You follow what I'm saying? Like, God didn't make that choice for them. They did it themselves. The devil didn't make that choice for them. He tempted them, like we read in James, right? We, you know, God cannot be tempted, but let me tell you, the devil tempts us, okay?
Yes.
So again, God didn't kill these teenagers. The enemy enticed these two teenagers so they can rebel against the rules of maybe the parents' home, the standards of their parents. But it was, they decided it was ultimately their choice. They're the ones who did the dope. They're the ones who mixed it with alcohol. They're the ones that hit the telephone pole. They're the ones that decided to drive in the car while under the influence, right? That was a natural thing. And God was not the source of it. It was their choice, their decision. So when we go to Romans 8:28, what does it mean when it says we know that all things work together for good? Well, first of all, it didn't say we know all things come from God. It didn't say that, right? And work together for good. It says that all things work together for good, but puts qualifications on it. It says to them that love God. There's a condition. There's a qualification in this verse. To them that love God. We just read it. So this scripture, it doesn't work for a person who doesn't love God. And this is so obvious in this verse that it should go without saying, but it is amazing how many people apply it toward instances like these young people who were doing drugs and alcohol and were in total rebellion against God and his principles. Right? It's amazing how people will so quickly blame God for things that God absolutely had no control over. So is God in control of everything? No, he is not. He is in control of a lot of things, but he is not in control of our choices. Right. We make the decision. We choose. And in this instance, this boy and this girl, they chose to do drugs, mix it with alcohol, get in a car, and hit a telephone pole because they lost control. They weren't sober. But they decided to do this under the influence. Amen?
Yeah.
Are you following what I'm saying? Ooh, hallelujah. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. So we serve a good God. So,
amen.
So what this is saying, this says it only works together for good to those who love God and to those that are the called, we are called. We're believers. We are the called of God according to his purpose. And let's go to, you know, 1 John 3:8 is also in the Bible studies, right? It says, he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Again, 1 John 3:8, it says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So it's saying God manifested himself as we know it to be today to destroy Satan's work. And that is his purpose. That is God's purpose. And it will only work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That is those people, those believers who are walking in this calling, are resisting the devil and are out to destroy his works. Aren't we out to destroy the enemy's work? Doesn't the word of God says pull on the full armor of God? We have to destroy the enemy's work. We have to use the sword of the spirit. We got to use the word of in scripture to come against the works of the enemy. Just like the Lord Jesus did when he was tempted. Remember when he was tempted after he was water baptized by John the Baptist? He went into the wilderness and he was tempted by the enemy, by the devil himself. But God, the Lord, came back with the word. It is written. He came back with the word. Came back with the word, right? And this is how we have to fight, resist the devil. We come back and we hit him with the word of God. Amen. So those who are resisting the devil and living for God can say that regardless of what the devil does in their lives, God can turn it around and use it for good. Amen. Because we're resisting the devil. Why? We're submitting to God. We're living for God. God is our priority. He's first in our lives. So yes, what the enemy intended for evil, God will definitely turn it around for your good. And that you find in Genesis 50:20. That is one of my life verses. My life verses. Amen. I put that scripture on my fridge when I was going through so many things way back when. Amen. But that scripture got me through because I was living for God. I was resisting the devil and I was quoting this where I said, God, I know you're going to turn this situation around for my good. And the Lord did. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we need to start discerning that God does not control everything in our lives. Amen. Yes, we know he is a sovereign God. You know, and for many people, sovereignty means he's in control of everything. But in reality, he's not in control of us. So we cannot say that he controls everything in our lives, because we control and we make choices in our lives. Correct? And there is an enemy out there that wants to come to kill, steal, and destroy. But the word of God says, but Jesus has come to give us life and give it to us in abundance. In abundance. So we have to choose life always and willfully recognize that God's not guilty of everything that comes into our lives. And this is why this Bible study is so important, because the minute you hear somebody say, oh, God must have done this to me, or this and this and that, you need to stop them right there and say, nope, God's not guilty. He didn't cause this to happen to you. Let's look deeper into your situation. Tell me about it, and I'll explain to you who's the one that's guilty. Because it's going to be that person, somebody else, or the enemy. But it will never be God. Never. It will never be God, because we serve a good God. Amen. And if God was a physical human being who did right the things that he's accused of, such as putting cancer, you've heard people, oh, God must have given me cancer, blah 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 blah, to teach me something. Some people say, well, he gave me deformities, right? Depression, sorrow, grief, right? That people are saying, I mean, I've heard people say and accuse God of putting these things on them, even sorrows. Yes. and trials. But I guarantee you, there isn't a government on earth, right, that wouldn't arrest, imprison, or try to stop him. Ain't nobody gonna stop God, right? Yet we think God, who is much more merciful, right, than any person we've met or imagined in our lives, is going around striking people and doing this. No, that is a lie from the pit of hell. God doesn't put sickness on you. God doesn't give you the symptoms of cancer, doesn't give you symptoms of the cold or the flu. He doesn't place depression on you. He doesn't give you a grief. He doesn't make you sorrow. No, we go through things in life. Sickness comes from the enemy, or it comes from you yourself. Sometimes our own anxiety can make you sick. Sometimes stress in your life, you stressing out. When the word of God says, worry not, be anxious for nothing. You yourself stress so much out of situations that haven't even happened that you can actually cause yourself to have a heart stroke or heart attack. And there's been doctors have diagnosed patients that this was caused by stress.
Yeah.
So we serve a good God. He's not going to place any of these things on you. He would never do that. Because God is so much more than that. He's merciful. He's compassionate. He is loving. Amen?
Amen.
He's not going around striking people and tempting people. That's not the God that we serve. He's a good God, like James 1:17 says, who every good gift only comes from him. Every good gift that we have comes from the Lord. And there are some things that are demonic attacks. Yes, there are. And some that are natural. And not all disasters are God ordained. A lot of times we hear all these thunderstorms and hurricanes happen, and right away we may say, oh my God, God must be mad. And you know, I've heard people say, oh, God is really mad at humanity right now. Right? And it's so bad, and tell me if I'm wrong, it's so bad that the insurance companies, right, write in their policy acts of God, such as earthquakes and pestilence. No, God is not the author of all these things. Amen? That is not from God. Mm-mm. No way. We serve a good God. And I'm here to say that God's not guilty. And when you hear anybody tell you opposite of that or begin to blame God for the things that are happening to them, sit with them and say, okay, let's look into your situation a little bit deeper and let's see who the real culprit is. But it's definitely not God, because the Lord came, amen, he sent his only begotten son. The Lord Jesus died at the cross, and he took back power, authority, and dominion that Adam had given to Satan. The Lord Jesus took it back. And guess what? When we accepted the Lord as our Savior, he gave it to us. He shared that same power with us. Remember, like I always say, as the Lord is, so are we in this world. So we have power, we have the authority, and we have dominion, and we have the power to say no to temptation and say no to sin. And we have the power to make decisions. And I pray they are the right decisions, that whatever decisions you make, they're good for you, not bad for you. Amen. Because things do happen. Amen. So that is the lesson. Let's go to the questions. Amen. And I mean, we read James 1:13, right? And we read James 1:17. Does God cause men to be tempted by evil?
No.
That's our first question. Absolutely not. No. It was very clear. God does not tempt man. And God cannot be tempted by with evil. That's not who God is. The enemy tempts us. Other people tempt us. We tempt ourselves. But God will never tempt you, because he's a good father. Amen.
Amen.
James 1:17. Where do good gifts come from? That's right. Scripture tells us that God is the father of lights. You know, it reminds me of what I said on Sunday, that God is the ultimate beacon of light.
Amen.
Amen. He is the father of lights. He is the father of the beacon of lights of this world and in this world. Amen. We are called light and salt of the world. Amen. And then when we read John 10:10, who is the thief? Who is he? That's right. It's the devil. Right? And what is the reason Jesus came in John 10:10? What is the reason Jesus came?
To give us life in abundance.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. My goodness. You know, the Lord came to give us a purpose, that right? Hallelujah. Oh, that was number four, right? I went ahead to number five. But John 10:10, what is the purpose of John 10:10? You know, it begins by saying that the enemy comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But then in John 10:10, what's the reason the Lord came? Is to give us abundant life. And to give it to us in more abundantly. That means that our life is good with God, but he came to make it even better. He gave us a better covenant, right? He's provided, he is the source. And he's providing all the resources that we need in this world. Amen? We have access to everything through God. You have access to through everything. Amen? James 4:7, we read that, right? And what is the result of submitting yourself to God and resisting the devil? What is the result of that?
So we have to submit to God and resist the devil.
And then what happens? What's the result of it?
Well, that the enemy flees from us.
Exactly. Exactly. And he's not going to flee forever. He's going to come back for another opportune time. But at least at that very instant, he's got to go. Because he has to follow through of what you say. When you speak the word of God, the enemy goes. Because the enemy's afraid of you. The enemy, when the enemy sees you, he sees the Lord. Amen? The enemy's afraid of us. And we think that the enemy has this loud roar. But the reality is the Lion of Judah is inside of you. We got the bigger roar. Amen. He's a little bitty, little ant right here, little tiny insect. He can't do anything to us unless we give him the power to do, unless we open that door. Listen, if you give the devil an inch, he's going to take a yard. So don't open that door. You got to resist him. You got to fight against him. And the way we fight is not physically, but with the word of God. It's the, you know, in Ephesians 6:12, it's called the sword of the spirit. It is the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:28, which we read. And the question is, does Romans 8:28 say that all things are from God? Absolutely not. And we went through it. We went through it over and over and over. Absolutely not. God doesn't control everything. Amen. God is a good God. He does not control everything. Acts 10:38. We didn't read that one. I'm going to go to my Bible to read that one.
I was going to tell you that before. You missed that one.
it wasn't in my lesson. And, you know, at least I didn't see it. But we're going to read it now. Acts 10:38. Because I'm going to the New King James Version. And it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. He was doing good and healing all, not some, all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Because God was with the Lord Jesus, right? So in Acts 10:38, is sickness from God?
No.
No. Scripture doesn't say that. If it was, why would he go about healing people? But it's not. Sickness is never from God. Never. In 1 John 3:8, which we did read, what was the purpose that the Son of God was manifested?
To destroy the works of the devil.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Amen. That's why the Lord came. He came to destroy the enemy. He came to put him under our feet. He came and to take back what Adam so easily gave up and gave to him, which was power, dominion, and authority. He took it back. The enemy's defeated. He's under our feet. Greater is the one that lives in you than he that lives in the world. Amen. You are more than a conqueror. Amen. It through all trials and tribulations, the word of God says you are a conqueror. You can.
Amen.
You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Because God has given you every ounce of strength to come against the enemy. He's giving you the word of God to come against the enemy. He's giving you the joy of the Lord to strengthen yourself in him. He says that when you are weak, that's when he will make himself strong in you. But we need to yield to God. We need to surrender to God. We need to submit to God.
Amen.
And then Romans 8:28, right? I love that verse. And then you should know that all things work together for good to them that love God. If you love God, this scripture is for you. To them that love God, to them who are called, the called. Are you the called? Are you the chosen ones? Yes, we are. Who them that are the called according to God's purpose. God works everything out for our good. I don't care what you're going through. If you love God and if you've been called by Him, it's going to work together for your good. Because what the enemy means for evil, God already has turned it around for your good. Because we serve a good God. Amen?
That's a very good scripture.
It really is. It really is.
Turns everything around for us.
That's right. Amen. Any questions and any comments? I'm open. We're here. We're here to learn. So good. Such a good. I think this is such a good lesson.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you're right, because that's what a lot of ministers have said. You know, if things aren't going well, you must be doing something wrong. I've heard that. And since I've been in church, I've heard that lots of times.
Oh, absolutely.
And this is why the word of
God. Can I go and
stay over here?
Huh?
This is why I love this. I'm going to go to this. We're still recording because we're doing Bible studies, right? But this is why I love this verse. In John 8:31, right? John 8:31, the Gospel of John 8:31. It says, then the Lord Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, right? If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Amen? And right now, what we do in these Bible studies, we are sharing the truth of the word of God. Because right now, you know, God didn't call us to make converts. He called us to make disciples. And we need to be in the word, because we need to know the truth, because it is the truth of the word of God that will set you free in situations. When you're going through something, we got to go to the word of God. Okay, Lord, what's the truth behind this? Well, how can I apply this truth to my life? Because I know when I apply it, it's going to set me free. Free from anxiety. Free from worry. Free from carrying weights that I don't need to carry. There's just freedom. Total freedom. When you love God. When you're serving God. When you're in the Word. There is freedom.
Amen.
You know, the Word of God says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we have the Spirit of God. We've been anointed by the Spirit of God. So there is total freedom. I mean, this lesson, I learned so much from it, because it's just, again, you know, the more you hear scripture, the more it gets deeper inside of you, you know? And when you hear something contrary to that, the Holy Spirit's going to waken you up. It's going to nudge you. Say this. That is not true. Come with this. And he's just going to remind you of these scriptures so you can reveal truth to the other person, because you're free. You're walking in freedom. You're walking in the truth of the word, but other people may not be walking in the truth of the word. So you, in order for you to, you know, to set them free, you got to share with them the truth of the word of God so they can be also set free. Because the Lord, you know, the word of God says that people perish for lack of knowledge, for lack of the truth.
Right.
And people die spiritually because they don't know the truth of the word. Amen. It's like many people say, or many ministers and people you know, oh yeah, we're preaching a prosperity gospel, right? This is a prosperity gospel. And I said, no, it's not. And I share this with my brother all the time. No, we don't preach a prosperity gospel. We preach a gospel, amen, that teaches us how to prosper in the things of the Lord, how to prosper amen. In life. But we don't preach a prosperity gospel. We have a gospel that teaches us how to walk in divine health and wealth. Because God is our source. Right. God is our provider. Amen. And he's the one that has all the resources already available for us. Amen. Just like the building, Beacon of Light Church, just like the building.
Right.
God is the source. He's the provider. And he's already set into place, you know, the resources for us that we will need in order to build. Because he's our giver. Amen. He's our source. He provides. He's our provision. Amen. So we don't preach a prosperity gospel. We preach a gospel that teaches us how to prosper in all things and be in health just as our soul prospers.
Amen. Well, what does the Bible say? Isn't the gospel, you know, like, it's not a gospel of, you know, of prosperity or anything like that. It's the gospel of salvation, because that's what it says.
Right.
And that's the gospel of salvation.
Exactly.
That everything is inclusive in salvation. So it's not a gospel of prosperity, you know. It's the gospel of salvation.
Yeah, it's, you know, and a lot of people call it the prosperity gospel, but it's not. It's a gospel that teaches. It teaches.
Yeah.
It gives us lessons and teachings on how to walk in divine wealth, how to prosper in every single area. It doesn't always have to be financial. How to prosper in every area of your life. Every area. And a lot of people misuse the words or take the gospel out of context for their own advantage.
Sure.
Especially when it comes to finances. From the pulpit. And they condemn. And they make you feel guilty. Although I just heard the Lord say that, you know, that you need to give, let's say, $100 or $1,000, whatever. Like, I mean, there's the things I've heard, that there was a minister that closed the church doors and wouldn't open them until, like, I think every person gave him $1,000 or something like that. Is total manipulation.
Wow.
When the Word of God says, right, and I believe in, I think, I don't know the exact verse, but I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where the Word of God says that when you give, right, already have a determined amount in your heart and then give from that. Amen? It's between you and God. It's between you and God. You know, when we collect, you know, we know when we collect the tithes and offering from here, Vinny doesn't collect it by bringing condemnation or making you feel guilty. No, it just says, listen, deposit financial seed, you're going to reap a harvest. I mean, we just said it on Sunday, you know. You deposit financial seed, there will be a harvest. But as you determine in your heart, because it's a conversation that you and God should be having. Not you and the preacher, not you and the minister, not you and the other congregation, other members in the. No, it's between you and God. You talk to him. Let him lead you. God, I don't know. Should I give today? Should I not give today? How much should I give? You talk to him. You know?
You know, I also heard that some people don't give tithe, but their offerings are more than the tithe. So it's what's in your heart. You know, they may not give a tithe, but their offerings sometimes are above a tithe.
I know.
Yeah, like it's from the heart.
Yeah, I had this conversation with my brother. My brother Michael, my brother Michael does not believe in the tithe. Okay, he's got he wrote a book in English and he wrote it in Spanish as well. He does not believe in the tithe. Okay, so I tell him, I said, well, I believe there is a blessing tied to the tithe. Like if I tithe, and he'll even, you know, he'll correct me too. It's not a tithe. It's a tenth. It's a tenth. Like, I can't argue with my brother, right? Doesn't matter. Anyway, doesn't matter. We just had this conversation. And I said, listen, me, Bernice, I believe there's a blessing when I give my tithe. But I give more. Like you said, Rosie, I give more. I don't just give a tithe. I give to the missions. I give to other ministries. So I give more. I give above and beyond, but that's me. That's me talking to God. I don't need to tell my brother, oh, I give here, I give here. I don't even need to tell you where I give, because it's between me and God, right? But I'm just letting you know, I give more than a tenth, but that's between me and God. But what I can share with you that since I learned, you know, to give my tithe, I've never really lacked, really. Like, I may be in financial debt, but that was my own choices that I made, okay? When I should have listened to God, and God told me, you're giving away my blessings. I bless you, and you give them away. I bless you, but God, I'm in a stewardship teaching with God. Like, God is trying to teach me how to steward my money. Because I allow myself to get into debt, okay? And that wasn't God's doing. That was my own doing. And I know that for a fact. I know that, okay? But I'm telling you right now that even being in that position, God still promoted me, gave me a salary that I'm still in awe. The salary that I have today, the salary that I had in my other jobs surpassed what I was expecting. Bonuses, time off awards, God always comes. He unexpectedly just showers me with blessings. Amen. But this is God. But what I understand that for me, depositing my seeds, financial seeds, I know there's a harvest. And I know when the temple is built, right, it's because all of us, the ministry, has given into the building of the sanctuary. Right. Amen? And we pray together for the building of the sanctuary. So anything that we've done has never been done in vain. There's a purpose behind it. And I said it on Sunday. None of our work has gone in vain. None of our giving has gone in vain. None of our prayers have gone in vain. In due season, we are going to see the harvest of everything we've done in this ministry from the beginning of time. Because that's what Galatians 6:9 said, right? Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you don't lose heart. So you keep doing what you're doing. You talk to God. Let him lead you. Let him, right. Whether it's a tithe or not, it doesn't matter. God's still going to bless you. God is still Amen. Going to bless you. But it's between right. you and God. Amen?
That's it.